And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, I have not let you into the station. I know you came down here, sir. I can't let you in. If you want to talk to me on your cell phone, that's fine.
That'd be fine.
Where are you?
I'm out in front of the building right now.
Because I know you showed up because you wanted to talk about it. If you want to be the guest, a guest on a radio show, you have to book it through a producer. Then you go through the producer, and then we talk, and then we get you on, right?
Yes, I understand that.
Now I feel bad you've driven all the way over here. What is it that you said? Now, I know that you were involved in an altercation with another man out in Alhambra. The police were involved, having to do with a bumper sticker, correct?
I'm a Korean War veteran. 1950, 1952. The bumper sticker on the car said, and I wrote, I have my notes, my grandkid is cuter than yours.
This was a bumper sticker on the back of someone's car.
That is correct, and I read that out loud. My grandson was with me. His name is Brent. He's 5 years old.
Right.
And I read that out loud. Now, the boy was visibly shaken. And I love that boy.
Your grandson was upset by a bumper sticker that said, my grandkid is cuter than yours.
Because he said, why is that man mean? Why is that man mean? Now, I'm a Korean War, and all of us Korean War veterans, Mr. Hendry, you have to understand now, are all grandfathers. We are old enough. And that bumper sticker and bumper stickers like it spit into the face of every Korean War vet with a grandchild.
The police report says you confronted this guy with a bumper sticker. That my grandkid is cuter than yours.
Hold, if you could hold on, Mr. Hendry. The guy comes out of the store. I picked my grandson up and I held him in front of the guy's face and I said, you can't tell me this little boy isn't at least as cute as your grandson. And I identified the child as my grandson, so he knew that I hadn't picked the boy at random.
Okay.
It was, and the guy claims it was a, and I said, why? And he said, it's a goofy bumper sticker or some, it was the worst excuse that I'd ever heard of offending a boy and offending me. And I explained to this monkey, and I don't make any apologies for that either.
I know that you're angry, and you don't have to be angry with me.
I apologize.
Go ahead.
I explained to the monkey with the monkey has the bumper sticker, my grandkid's cuter than yours. I said, there's a generation of Korean War vets. There's a lot of them I left over there. A lot of buddies. They're dead on a hill, some unnameable hill, some faraway place, who died for this country. And we come home and see that our grandchildren are ugly. I had a buddy of mine come home from Korea in 1952, takes a look at his kid, and the kid was ugly. And this is the thanks that you get when you come home and you see one of your kids got ugly. Now, I told this guy that I'd been driving for 53 years.
Okay, let's get back to the bumper sticker.
All of them. My other car is a Porsche. And the one that makes me angrier than any of them, the one that says simply, back off. I've been driving for 53 years. Nobody tells me to back off.
Okay, so you took these things personally. But my concern is that it escalated.
Yes, it did, sir, through no fault of my own.
What? How did it escalate?
Well, he told me to relax, pal. He says to me, I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I'll never forget him looking at me with this bowling shirt that he was wearing and all of his nonsense. He says, relax, pal. Can I tell you a story?
I just want to stick with the thing. He told you, relax, pal, and you got angry.
That is correct, but there's a reason.
What is the reason?
I was on board the SS Rowan. We're sending shells into the Korean coast prior to Incheon. This monkey tells me to relax as I'm loading shells. I dropped ordnance on my foot. Crushed the big toe in my right foot, last part of the foot, because some monkey told me to relax. You don't do that to a Korean War vet.
This was in the heat of battle. You were in Korea, and what, one of your shipmates?
Dimbulb shipmate tells me to relax. I'm sending shells into Incheon, trying to pave the way for the Marine Corps. And so I dropped the shell.
You crushed part of your foot.
Crushed the foot. You know, let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. You never tell a Korean War vet to relax. You don't know what's going to come next.
Well, this was an interesting thing. Mike told me that you wanted to go on the air live. I know that you're outside. You're outside the building on a cell phone.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. If you didn't hear the story, this man is a Korean War veteran. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but you were...
It has a hell of a lot to do with it.
All right, but you were outside of a market with your grandson, a bumper sticker that said, "My grandkid is cuter than yours." You took to be a slap to your face.
Absolutely. When the child was visibly shaken by this... Now, I know there are a lot of grandparents and might have pride, but you never, ever say, you don't say it to me, "My grandson's cuter than yours." Oh, you know.
Well, this is not only your grandson, but it's the child of who?
My daughter's boy.
5 years old. What's his name?
He's a wonderful boy named Brent, and he never did anything to ever deserve that.
Do you think it's personal?
Do I think it's personal?
Do you think the guy slapped a bumper sticker on his car? Does he have grandchildren?
He told me obviously he did, because if he didn't, why would he have that?
Well, may I propose something that perhaps somebody else has already suggested to you, and it's Lloyd, right?
Yes, sir, Lloyd Bonafide.
All right. That it wasn't personal, that they didn't put the bumper sticker on the car to bug your kid?
No. You see, here's where they blew it. They didn't know a Korean War veteran was going to be in the car behind him. It's like last year, I'm going over Laurel Canyon, and there's a guy there with "back off" on his bumper sticker. And I had a golf club. And I did a little damage to that guy's fender.
See, that kind of keying doors and beating in fenders and beating in, that's an out of control kind of violence that I think. And when the police arrived, according to their report, they found you repeatedly kicking this man's car where the bumper sticker had been.
If he hadn't been a bald-faced liar.
What made him a liar? Did you see his grandkid?
Let me tell you what. I saw the man's grandchild sitting in a car seat. And that kid was not cuter than my grandson. And I wouldn't want to say this about a child, but I will say it because it proved my point. The kid was ugly.
The other guy's grandkid.
His grandson was ugly compared to mine, and yet he had a bumper sticker.
Did you deny admittance to this guy?
Yeah, the guy, producer, wouldn't let me in.
Okay, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. So now we get to the thing. He didn't like the bumper sticker. He confronted a guy who had a bumper sticker, "My grandson is cuter than yours," because he saw this guy's grandkid, and he said his kid was ugly. And this is an affront to him as a Korean War veteran. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What do you think about that, though?
What do I think about guys who have bumper stickers that say, "My other car is a Porsche"?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I ignore it.
You don't, and that doesn't tighten your jaws.
No, sir, that doesn't tighten my jaws. Guys has a bumper sticker that says, "My other car is a Porsche." First of all, I don't believe him.
See, that's the part that bothers me. He's a bald-faced liar. Because if his other car was a Porsche, what's he doing driving the garbage can that he's in? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I haven't. I mean...
just really makes me angry. If his other car is a Porsche, why is he driving the garbage can car that he's in?
Okay, but we're talking about your grandson being offended by a bumper sticker on another guy's car that said, "My grandson is cuter than yours," and you, according to you, that other guy's grandson was ugly.
And I don't mean anything wrong with the boy. He's probably a fine boy, but he was an ugly kid.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes,
today?
Sir.
I'm listening to this gentleman here, and I myself have 13 years in service. I'm a staff sergeant in the United States Army.
God bless you.
And I've been hearing this, and I will tell you this, that I don't feel, as a result of being a veteran of conflicts and different engagements, that I have any preferential treatment or can mistreat people in any manner.
Are you a veteran of a foreign conflict?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
Yes, sir. You've heard of the Gulf War, right, sir?
I've heard of the Gulf War. I know that they are in and out of there quicker than a fart.
Yes, sir. And we have no preferential treatment as a result. What has happened is that you, over the years, have definitely bloated your military career to the point where you feel you have preferential treatment over the laws.
Well, let me ask you. You got a kid sitting with you. The child is visibly shaken by a bumper sticker that says, "My grandkid's cuter than yours." You look at the other guy's grandkid. The kid's as ugly as a quart of buttermilk, and the boy that you're with is visibly shaken.
The kid was shaken?
He was very upset.
I understand.
What do you
that,
do
then? I have a 5-year-old daughter. If my daughter's that sensitive, I'm going to tell her to get over it. You know, my lord.
Well, what if you see a bumper? Now, you're a United States Army. Are you a veteran? Are you currently in service?
I'm still in service, sir.
All right.
Still in service.
You see this bumper sticker says, "My kid's cuter than yours." You look at the kid. The kid's as ugly as ugly as paint on a barn. And your kid's cuter?
I could care less, sir, because you know something, there's bigger issues
in the
world.
I don't get that. I just don't get it.
Sir, I have one recommendation. I'm not being insulting, but it sounds like you have an anger management problem.
You know, the cop said that to me. And
okay, now there's a cop that said it to you. This caller said it to you.
Well, with all due respect to the... he's not a psychiatric...
No, he's not a psychiatrist. He's just a guy offering an opinion. But if the cop said it, this guy said it. This is a fellow serviceman. You're a veteran.
Well, yeah, a lot of these monkeys I knew in the service couldn't find it with both hands, which I'm not saying this gentleman is. But
all right. Well, listen, Robert, thank you for your opinion, especially since
the
cop said that.
No problem. I do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, but he didn't fight. Okay.
He didn't fight what?
He was in the Gulf War.
Are you going to get on this kick about how the Gulf War wasn't a real war?
Oh, we were in and out of there quicker than the fart from a duck's ass. And all of that.
Okay, if we're going to talk about children and grandchildren and cuteness, let's keep the language clean.
I apologize. But the Gulf War, we were in Korea shelling the Chinese. The Chinese.
All right. Those are the cats you were fighting in?
In Korea.
Yes. What's this got to do with the bumper sticker, though, man?
That's what I'm saying, insofar as we served our country to be insulted that way.
Evelyn is on the line. Evelyn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I really think, sir, you need to see a doctor. You have a very bad problem from your Korean
War. Talk about a psychologist?
Listen, that grandchild of yours could not even have read that sign at 5 years old. You had to read it to him. I mean,
is that what you did?
Yeah, my grandchild, I said I was reading the sign, and my grandchild said, "What does that mean, Grandpa?"
Well, did you have to tell him?
He calls me Poppy.
Well, did you have to tell him? I mean, really. I mean, and in the first
place,
that
lie
was
to
no
the
insult
child?
Personally anyway.
Am I going to lie?
If you thought it was, there's a problem with you. There's all kinds of bumper stickers out there that have nothing at all.
All right, well, what do you think of this one? How's my driving? 1-800-EAT-CRAP. What do you think of that?
I wouldn't hear anything about it because it had nothing to do
with
me.
I see that. I see that, and I want to come through the
but
windshield.
But see, there is where the problem lies, is because those things upset you. It's like every sign you see upsets you. I mean, there's something wrong there.
No, nothing upset. If it said something like, "Have a nice day," I'm all right with it. But if it says 1-800-SUCK-MY-THING, I'm very much offended by that.
Well, it's okay to be offended.
Well, I'm sure it's offensive wording, but, I mean, it has nothing to do with you.
It's okay
personally
to be offended by it, but it's not, and it's something not to take personally, okay?
And when you see your grandchild crying, what do you think about that?
The only reason your grandchild cried, I'm 62 years old. I got a lot of grandchildren.
Are they good looking?
It doesn't upset them.
Are they ugly? Are they good looking?
Well, they're cute. To me, they're probably the most beautiful grandchildren
in the
world.
See, that's the thing. You're looking through the...
If somebody says my grandchild is cuter than you, I'll say, well, you know what? That's your opinion. And that would be their opinion. I wouldn't sit there and beat their car up.
What about that, Lloyd? What if you would have said to the guy...
I was kicking the man's bumper.
Okay, but what if you would have said to the guy, that's your opinion?
Boy, that's a tough one for a war veteran. You know, I'm used to just taking things on head on. A guy says my grandkid's ugly... I'll put his face right into the trunk of his car.
Sir, I don't know how old you are, but you know...
I'm 69 years old. I entered the service at 18.
All right, your war was years ago. What, 50 years ago?
That is correct.
You know, you should not have that war really upsetting you even now. I mean, really, you keep going back to when you were in Korea.
Well, if your grandkids were ugly, I'm sure you'd admit it, wouldn't you?
Well, hey,
but what
no,
bothers me
not.
Is this guy
there
wouldn't
no
admit
way.
How
I ain't going to admit my grandchild's ugly even you're if not, it was the best
kid in the
world.
But see, if you know that he's this guy, that's the thing that bothered me, Mr. Henry.
Well, what is the guy going to do? Yes, you're right, sir. My grandkid is ugly.
If he'd had that much courage, yes. Okay, you're right. The kid's frightening. But he wouldn't do that.
Why would he? It's his grandchild.
I'm not going to say that in front of that child.
But not only that, the child to him is beautiful. I don't care if it is the ugly child.
Your husband
kid in the world.
Is your husband still alive?
Mine, yes. Yes, I have 14 grandchildren.
Do you play cards?
Sure.
I love to play pinochle. And I play spades too. You like spades?
What's that got to do with?
What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you, Evelyn.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
Well, I wanted to ask the lady if she does that.
Plays cards.
Uh-huh.
1-800-449-8686. Is this Vic?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. I just wanted to comment to the gentleman on the line that I was with the 5th Marines at the reservoir.
God
we
bless
weren't
you.
We weren't sitting 12 to 15 miles offshore lobbing shells.
We helped you guys get out of that reservoir.
Yeah,
what
we appreciate that. We appreciate that help, sir. But you can't just keep, you know, that. How many years ago was that? And you can't keep leaning on that.
No, you're right about that. I'm not trying to say nothing.
If you'd have just brought this whole thing up about your grandchild without throwing the Korean thing into it, that'd have been great. I'm a Korean veteran and 3 tours in the country.
God bless you.
But,
You're a Marine, huh?
Yes, sir. But,
Mother Green and her fighting machine.
But, you know what? You don't get
Army
your back up so much.
But the Marine Corps was sticking out like a sore thumb there.
Okay, can we apply? The guy's saying, don't get so upset.
All right, let's take the fact that I was in Korea out of it, all right?
You weren't actually in Korea. You were offshore, sir.
Just forget that I was ever near there, okay?
Well, I wish you hadn't brought it up, but we could have forgot it.
What are you going to do when someone says your grandkid is ugly and you're a Korean War veteran?
There
it
goes.
You just
again.
Said that you weren't going to mention it, okay?
Well, I'm not mentioning fighting
what
there.
What does being a Korean War veteran have to do with your child being ugly, sir? Or not as cute as the next kid.
Look, I knew a guy by the name of Bobby Bale. He had been in the United States Army. He'd fought in the North Pacific, Saipan, WW2. He comes home. He takes one look at his kid, who was born when he was over there, when he was in the service in the Pacific. The kid's as ugly as hell. Now, what's that like to come home to?
Well, let me tell you what,
did
sir.
You come home to an ugly
I
kid?
I came
or?
Home 3 times from Vietnam.
To a new kid each time?
I came into Travis Air... Could you listen to me? Just
let the guy talk.
I came into Travis Air Force Base once. I went into San Francisco International twice, the first 2 times. And I got spit on. I got eggs thrown at me, tomatoes thrown at me.
It was Halloween.
No,
that's
no,
what they
sir,
do.
It wasn't,
it wasn't Halloween. He was coming home.
I was coming home.
I thought he said that
Nam,
he was at home.
Sir, and at the time, called murderers
did
and everything
you come
else.
Home? What's this got to do with my kid being ugly?
Well, what it's got to do with is the fact that you can't get upset with people saying things to
that
you.
That your
you
grand and nobody said your grandkid was ugly. They said their grandkid was cuter.
And it was a lie because that guy's kid could make time stop.
Well, I was called a murderer, sir, and I got over it.
What did you murder someone?
He was in Vietnam. They said that the guy.
Sir, we killed him. We were Marines.
All right.
Okay,
we
listen.
Killed. We
thank
didn't
you.
Murder.
Well, God bless you. And I'll tell you, this kid of mine would have made a hell of a Marine.
All right, listen, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Get this guy to stick to the point, will you? Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What other bumper stickers? You say that these bumper stickers you take personally.
I take them personally, yes, as a grandfather, as a father, as a war. The one that I don't like, and I voted for President Bush, and I want to make that clear.
Yes, sir.
But I can't stand seeing all these Bush-Cheney, you know what I'm saying? And they're all on SUVs. It irritates me. It causes me to get a sick stomach. And, yes, I want to lash out. I want to lash out with my fists.
Just because you're seeing a bumper sticker that says Bush-Cheney, or the other one you didn't like was...
Yeah, the one, my kid is an honor student. Oh, man. God, that just...
Why, because somebody's got a kid that is achieving?
Well, what are you throwing it up at everybody's face for? You make me want to have a... if I had any like a floor lamp, I would...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Susan on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for fighting so valiantly for our rights and the freedoms that we have now.
Uh-huh.
But thank you so much for fighting for our rights and our freedom.
I can't hear.
Thank you for fighting for our rights and our freedom.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to be able to publish some sort of literature to let us know what we can and cannot do?
Because you want to be facetious about it. I'm trying to do is let you know that it's offensive to have a bumper sticker that says "Choose Life" or some of that nonsense.
Well, how many Americans are?
Are you one of them? The abortion?
Am I one of them?
Did you have an abortion?
That is none of your business.
What has that got to do with it?
Well, and why would you be upset? Do you have the bumper sticker that says, hey, have an abortion? Ask me how. Call 1-800.
Okay, there are how many ever Americans? But we're all supposed to rip off our bumper stickers because you don't like them. Is this the message we're supposed to do? Is this what we're supposed to do?
Not all of them, no.
Okay, and is your service in the military? Do you see that?
Are you a mother?
Do you see that your military service?
So you're not a mother, so you don't know what it is. And the other bumper sticker,
well,
I don't like.
Well, you're not a mother either.
I'm a grandfather, and I don't like that one day at a time baloney because those are all alcoholics.
Okay, what would make you happy?
Look it, calling my kid. Ugly as ugly enough to crack
a
clock.
He didn't call your kid ugly. He had a bumper sticker on. Do you have a sense of humor?
Oh, so if I had a sense of humor, therefore I would think, oh, he's kidding. His kid must be so frightening, he could make cars go off a freeway. Is that it? I mean, you can't have it both ways, ma'am.
No, you're missing the point entirely. She's saying, my grandkid is cuter than yours, because that's the way parents and grandkids talk. And
when did you become a parent, Mr. Hendry?
Oh, geez.
Okay, all right, so I'm a stepdad, all right?
Yeah. And don't forget it. And I fought for your right to marry a woman with four kids. I fought. Right.
I hate it. Thank
Guy's
you
a little
for your
flipped
time.
Out.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Here's Donna on the Phil. Or hold on for a minute. Let's go over to Terry on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, Terry.
I just got a comment.
Can't
for
hear you. Can't hear you.
I just have a comment for the gentleman.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
He's got anger issues for one thing, but my father served in Korea and Vietnam and was killed in action.
Oh, God bless him for that. And I'll bet you if he came home and somebody said about you, hey, that Terry, she sure is frightening looking.
Well, sir, that's the issue I'm making. My grandfather served in World War II as a commander of a naval ship. My uncles have been in the military. And
are
never,
you
going
to go see Pearl Harbor?
Pardon?
Are you going to go see the Pearl Harbor movie?
Absolutely, sir. However, I heard it firsthand from my grandfather, so...
Well, you are his granddaughter. What if someone said, boy, look at that Terry. She could make buttermilk run cold.
Well, sir, that has happened, and he said that's their opinion. Never have I heard any of my military family ever show such disrespect towards any other human being for any reason.
You mean you are ugly?
I don't consider myself to be one,
well,
but others
you said,
might.
You said it happened.
But others might. That is their opinion, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, you said it happened.
Yes, it did when I was a child.
They said you were an ugly kid.
Well, they made comments that theirs were cuter, and they said, you know, that's what you believe. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I would have taken them out. I would have taken them out with one swing of a baseball bat.
But, sir,
if
the one thing...
they said that about you.
Sir, the one thing that they taught me, and they taught me well in life and growing up, that I'm very proud of...
But I don't have any ugly
they
kids.
They showed me...
Oh, will you be quiet?
They showed me the one thing they learned in...
What's that?
In while being in action, fighting others, and having to kill and so forth.
And,
I'll
tell you, if you got to come home to an ugly kid after 4 years in the...
Will you shut up?
You telling me to shut up?
Yes, and let the lady finish if you come home to an ugly kid after 4 years.
No, really, Bobby Bale, his child was born when Bobby was overseas, see?
Yes.
And he come home, and there's the kid as ugly as the day is long.
You know, sir, my younger sister was born while my father was away, and he never got to see her. And I think if he were to live through that war, he probably would have thought she was the most beautiful thing. And
maybe.
That would be his opinion as a parent.
Yeah, but to think of what it would have been like had he made it through the war, only to come home to a kid with ears like Dumbo.
You know, if he made it...
I'm sure the guy would have still be happy to be alive.
I don't know.
He's not
Bale
even alive,
Bale told me,
sir.
He wished he would have taken a Jap bayonet after he saw his kid.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my. Please don't respect your military
background, sir. Well, that's what
he
said. He wished he would have fallen on a grenade.
Sir, in my opinion, you are greatly
the guy
disrespecting
is a,
the military.
A mental case. Thank you very much for your call. Good luck with the police, pal. You're going to need it.
Well, that's why I called. Do you think you can loan me the money for an attorney?
Sure, yeah. 1-800, you mean a good attorney, because I know you don't want to do that public defender route, is that right?
Oh, no, I don't want those lunkheads. They were born ugly.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I would rather fall on a Japanese bayonet than come home to an ugly kid. You know, my father used to say that, and no, he didn't. Actually, what he said to me was, my dad was on this thing about, well, you know, when I got back from the Army, there was your brother. My brother was born during the war. And so my dad comes back from the service, and I knew I had a kid, and there's this kid. Yeah, that's your kid. Well, it's like, in other words, there's this thing about guys from that generation. They didn't quite know how babies were made. Now, I know that they do. You know, obviously they do. But they acted like it was somehow not their fault. Like they, you know, and guess what she did? What? She got pregnant. Yeah. Who did it? Well, who do you think did it? Well, I'm okay, but the way you say it, I mean, I don't. The gardener? Why, you dirty. All right, I'm sorry. The way you were saying it, I thought you meant with the. It's not your... Well, of course it's my kid. But how dare she get pregnant? I don't know. Maybe there was a whole trip there about the women took care of it, you know? So you got to read between the lines culturally about what went down before, you know, we all got so enlightened as we are today. And there was this thing... No wonder women take care of, or in the old days took care of... If there was an unwanted pregnancy, they'd go visit the old crone down the road with a coat hanger or something, you know? Because it was expected, well, you better do something about it, because what am I? I'm not going to do anything about it. You know, sure, I made you pregnant, but what's that got to do with the price of bread? Just go and do something, you know? So my father would be on this whole kick about how, and then I got back from the service, and there was a kid sitting there. Really, I don't know how the hell that happened, Dad. I don't either. It's, well, Dad, tell me, where do kids come from? Well, a stork flies over and drops it down a chimney. Oh, okay, I thought as much, but you mean that other stuff about, like, actual sex? That's bullcrap. You know, I suspected as much. It's a stork, and that's how you're saying that to me, having fought in a war and been through life. I am now convinced, son, it's a stork. All right, anyway, so guess what I did today, and I want to be very delicate with this because I don't want to mention the network or the show or anything, but I went and I did a TV audition today for a show. And you know instantly, no matter what the work environment, I think you know instantly whether you belong in an environment or whether you don't. And whether it's your kind of thing or whether it's not, you know. And I went and I did this audition. And when I say TV audition, I'm not talking about a sitcom or a show like that, like a drama. I'm talking about more like a live interview style show where I would be sort of the quasi-host. And I went because I was led to understand that it would be a certain kind of show. Well, I get to this thing, and they put something in your ear if you do live television. And maybe you've seen the people in sports. It's called an IFB earpiece. It's an earpiece they put in your ear so you can hear directions coming from the producer and from the whoever the hell is behind the scenes doing all this stuff. And if you've seen very literate athletes on television and you say to yourself, boy, that guy's pretty smart. 9 times out of 10, there's a guy up in the booth going, okay, China is a country across the...
And China's a country across the...
Pacific.
And I don't know what that's got to do with the football game.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mess with your mind.
And he's messing with my... I mean, And
you're at a football game.
We're at a football game here today.
And it's between the Titans and the Jaguars.
It's a
beautiful day today.
About
75 degrees.
75.
I mean, literally, some of these guys have to have this fed into the... So they put one of these things in my ear. Now, like I said, I was led to believe it was going to be one kind of a show, and it was decidedly different. Because I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to do this thing, and I got this guy in my ear. And he's telling me which guy to go to next, which question to ask, shut up, talk, don't do this, do that. Can you hear me? Yes. And I couldn't hear this guy. Throughout the whole thing, it was like this little voice just in the back because I couldn't hear anything. Okay. And I kept saying, if I said it once, I said it 6 million times to these guys, will you turn it up so I can hear you? Well, I'm sorry that I said it because then I could hear him. And I'm just, all I'm saying is, It's you can't talk and listen to somebody shouting at you in the ear at the same time. It's impossible. The guys that are able to do it need it. They do it because they got to have it. Remember Broadcast News when he was sitting there in the movie and she's telling him all about Libya and the jets? And he's doing it very beautifully. He's inputting the information and expelling the information into the ether there with little or no effort because he needs that. But when you're used to running your big fat mouth for a living like I am, the last thing you need is some guy in your ear doing this stuff. So I'm going to tell you right now, I got done with about a half an hour of this crap, and I was ready to walk out of there. I don't give a... I could care less. I make more bread doing radio than I make on this gig. Who needs it? Well, let's try it again, Phil. Let's try without the guy. So we tried it again in the last half hour, and it worked. It worked nicely. But the guy says to me later, boy, that was really different. What? Well, what you did there was really, I mean, without the IFB, Jesus, it was like, wow. Like, well, wow what? I'm having a conversation with you. You mean I was saying things like, hi, how you doing, Biff? And because there wasn't anybody in my ear, I wasn't going, hi, how are you doing, Biff? Because there's a guy going, hi, how are you?
How are you?
Doing.
Biff. Wow, we've never heard a guy talk like that. I mean, and plus I get out of the studio. This is a bunch of crap that you're not interested in. But the bottom line was I was a very debilitating and to some degree depressing experience doing that for a living. I can't imagine guys doing that. But you've seen them all. And have you ever wondered why it is when a guy is on television, like in the sport? I keep going to sports because they use those IFB earpieces so that they can give them direction in sports. You ever wonder why the guy is nodding so much when he's talking to a guy? I used to think it was because he was really interested in what the guy had to say and agreed with it. No, he's nodding to let the director know that he hears him already and would you shut up.
Hi, Bob, we're going to break. Break in 5 minutes. You understand?
Yeah, huh? The head's going up. Yes, I got it. I know. So that was right. And then got out of the thing and came up the 405, and it was a motorcycle down. Going to this thing this morning, I had left the house at 7:30, had to be there at 9 o'clock, and I needed every single solitary second, every parsecond, every nanosecond of that time. If I had left 2 minutes later, I would have gotten there 2 minutes later. I got there right at 9 o'clock, right when I was supposed to be, because the traffic was out of this freaking world. And then I finally realized what it was. There's a hill that you climb on the 405 to get down to the other side of the hill to go down to the west side. There's always one guy. I don't know if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time it is, but there's one guy that goes over that hill just slow enough to slow everybody up behind him until finally it's backed up all the way to Santa Barbara. Because this guy is going over to, I want to know where he is. When I find that guy, I'm going to put a little IFB earpiece in that guy and just go, you are a, I am a, asshole, asshole. 1-800-449-8686. You know, I just, to me, it's a world of sort of a, anyway, doing radio is a beautiful thing because you can do whatever the hell you want to do. The other nice thing about, the other thing, when I was on the set, I was doing some stuff, I was saying things, and they were freaking out. I don't know what the hell I said. Something about, there was a crack made about guys sleeping with each other's wives or something, and something about somebody got an award, extra effort award, that was it, some sporting award, extra effort. So I made some crack like it had to do with Kea Pectator. I don't know, some diarrhea thing, and they, oh, no. It's a whole different world. And here's what I discovered. That television, and I'm not saying this to denigrate the people who work in TV, but it's a world of automatons. It's a world of sort of the robotic response. And I think cats in television are used to just saying to all of the people on the stage, you go there, you go there, you sit there, now here's what you say. Okay, and the people who work in TV dig it. Radio, you say whatever the hell it is you want to say, and the next day you're fired, but then you go to the next job and you say whatever you say, and the next day you're fired, and pretty soon you get fired just enough times where you make it to where I am today with, you know, all this bread and a nationally syndicated show. I got fired just enough times to, you know, I failed upwards. In radio, you get canned enough, they reward you. In television, you get canned, and that's the end of that because they just can't have that thinking outside of the box stuff. They just don't want it. Now, mind you, I'm mindful of the fact that there may be people listening right now who I was with this morning doing this gig, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. Honest to God, I'm not. I just, you know, it ain't for me. Just ain't for me. Plus, I'm looking at my big, fat, ugly face. They had a monitor there about 18 miles wide, about like the Times Square monitor that they have, and it was, there's Phil's big face. And I got to look at this thing. Every time I went to camera, and I'm noticing every single flaw. I'm tilting my head to the right. I can't see the thing. There's a teleprompter there. They got to read. It says, and welcome, I'm Phil Hendry, and I can't see it, and I'm messing things up, you know, getting everything wrong. You know, this guy plays for what team? I don't know. And his name is Vince Carter, plays for the Phillies. No, he's basketball. I'm sorry, the Philadelphia Phillies. And what a great ball player, Allen Iverson. I don't know. So take it from me. I didn't look good, and you don't want to see me on TV anyway. I got a problem with that whole television in the studio anyway. I've told you that before. And the thing that Channel 11 did was just wonderful. We loved it. But, boy, that was about 30 pounds later with that fat face of mine. By the way, 228 and holding. I don't think I'm going to go working out today. I got out of bed real early to go down to this thing. And didn't sleep very well last night, so I don't think I'm working out today. And I think when I come back in on Friday, we'll have gained about 5 pounds. And guess what? I don't care. I need to eat. I need food. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 to check in. So that was, how was your day? Oh, really, honey? Number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD or picture disc vinyl is available by ordering at 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445, $20 for the CD or the picture disc, $3.50 shipping and handling. You can pay by way of Visa, MasterCard, a check, and all of the money goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's Phil Hendry Show.